Hotel history is created for adult audiences. Content may not be suitable for all listeners. Discretion is advised. You're listening to Hotel History. We take you with us through the sordid history and scandals of some of the world's most famous and infamous hotels. I'm Dieta.
And I'm Yael. Let's get started.
Welcome back to part two of our episodes about hotels in Cannes with JQ Louise, the editor-in-chief of the JQ List. Part one was about the Carlton Hotel, so if you haven't listened to that one, go check it out first. Today we're going to feature some more excerpts of our interview with JQ and then dive deeper into the history of the Hotel Martinez and the Palm Beach Casino and Members Club. So here we go.
The Carlton is like the iconic place, I think, but the other hotel that is also honestly equally as iconic, but it's just not as well known, is really Hotel Martinez. And it's like right down the street from the Carlton. It's also in the cross set. And it's totally different, like totally different vibe than the Carlton. Like, honestly, they're just very different hotels, but they both give like that, you know, palace hotel vibe. Very luxurious. The Martinez was renovated a few years ago too, so everything is nice and new in there. Awesome smell. They definitely have a signature scent, and everything, like the aesthetic, is so cool. It's more of like I would say the Carlton is very classic. The Martinez has more of like an art deco, like kind of like modernistic type look. It's like blue and white instead of all creams on the interior like the Carlton. So it's very fresh, and I don't know, you just get a little bit more of like a, like they're both like very fashion forward. Like, you still have the same type of clientele in each, like very high class people are definitely staying in both hotels, but the Martinez is just a little bit different. I think it's a little bit smaller technically, like fewer rooms, but it's also a big hotel too. And you get the same views. Like, you still have amazing ocean views outside of your room. Yeah, I don't know. The Martinez is just another awesome hotel. It's further down the Croisette. So honestly, it's a little bit further away from like the peak hustle and bustle. And that's one thing I really like about it. It feels a little bit more in the know, especially because there's some really cool restaurants like around, like in their block. Like, it's a really cool area to stay in.
So of the three palaces on the Promenade de la Croisette, which the big hotels are known as palaces, the Carlton, the Majestic, and the Martinez was the last to be built, but it was the most luxurious, with 7 stories and 500 rooms.
Damn.
The Art Deco Hotel's guest register has been filled with all kinds of celebrity names like Caroline Otero, our gorgeous La Belle courtesan, and Archduke Franz Joseph. Because of the film festival, it's hosted a lot of actors like Rita Hayworth, Charlie Chaplin, Sophia Loren. The list goes on.
Yeah. I mean, you're going to have every single A-list person at this place.
Yeah. That was so interesting that what JQ was talking about, that Americans seem to be more likely to stay at the Martinez and Europeans at the Carlton because of the World War. Who was housed where during World War II, which we'll get to. This hotel has a major World War II story.
Yeah. In 1927, Emmanuel Michel Martinez decided to build a hotel on the Côte d'Azur. He had managed hotels in London and Paris and even the Carlton there in Cannes. So he has experience already.
Yes.
But was ready to be a hotelier himself. Backed by financiers, Martinez bought the Villa Maria Therese in 1927, demolished it, and built the Hotel Martinez, which opened on February 20th, 1929. There is nothing like a good build, demolish, build again story.
I feel every time I see that a hotel opens at some point in 1929, immediate grimace. I'm like, oh, hard times are coming for you.
Oh, it is, because in spite of its luxury, the hotel began to run into financial difficulties. problems, which were made worse by the U.S. stock market crash and the subsequent depression, which affected all the hotels along the Riviera and elsewhere, all over the world.
All over the world.
Increasing numbers of guests in the 1930s did not improve the increasing number of guests. Oh, they came after.
As the depression got better, more guests came, but didn't help.
So they couldn't handle more guests. They were like, we're suffering. We're really suffering. Like, just give us a second. And everyone's like, but we need to escape.
Everyone's like, how about a war? Would a war help?
Yeah. And so financial problems, the crash, the depression, and the nightmares don't stop.
What fresh hell comes next?
During World War II, France was among the first nations to surrender to the Nazis in June 1940. Several of the floors at the Hotel Martinez were taken over by German SS and Italian military command officers. Martinez had no choice but to comply. I could imagine.
This makes me think of the scene in the Grand Budapest Hotel where the floors are all taken over by the fascist military in that movie.
Yeah. But Martinez experienced an unexpected political awakening sparked by the fiance of his daughter, Micheline, a Canadian intelligence officer named Tom Kenny, who was his daughter's fiance, who helped British pilots and spies escape Vichy France. Martinez secretly supported Kenny as he helped hundreds of Jews, refugees, and spies escape. Many hid out on the lower levels of the hotel as they plotted a route to safety. Meanwhile, the Italian and German officers were quartered mere floors above. So Martinez, not a fan of the fascists or the Nazis, and kind of this right here reminds me of a gentleman in Moscow where he's getting treated not the best by the people in charge, but something happens where he's like, okay, now I'm gonna get involved.
Yeah.
And I give credit to, no wonder the Americans want to stay at the Martinez.
Right. Yeah. Knowing this story now, that's the first place I want to stay. I mean, and can you imagine how terrifying it must have been to be on the second floor and the third floor above you is just crawling with these people who want to throw you away, basically.
I need to know more. There needs to be a movie.
There's a book.
Or there's a book. Okay, yeah. There's a book. Yay! On the list of things we have to read.
Yes. Days after his wedding, Kenny, who happened to be a distant relation of Theodore Roosevelt's, was arrested by the Gestapo and jailed on espionage charges. Martinez worked tirelessly to have his son-in-law released, connecting with Kenny's family in Canada, who had strong ties to the international banking industry as founders of the Royal Bank of Canada. Oh, wow. Kenny came from some money. Micheline, who was pregnant with their first child, exchanged prison letters with Kenny, who underwent 4 months of interrogation by his Nazi captors. U.S. President Franklin D. Roosevelt had to intervene, sending a letter to the American ambassador in Vichy asking him to obtain a special favor from the French military authorities that the investigation of his quote-unquote cousin, Thomas Kenny, be brought to more reasonable dimensions.
Man, the guy had a lot of pull.
He had some good connections, which that's who you want. I mean, that's who you want on the side of the resistance, is somebody with connections like that.
Yeah, but still 4 months of Nazi interrogation. But he didn't crack.
He didn't crack. And upon his release, he continued to fight the Nazi regime as a spy. But eventually he did have to escape. And he fled to Gibraltar first, to Spain at the end of December 1942. And then eventually made it all the way to England.
So he, thank God.
Yeah. And then his wife, who at the time had, I think, just given birth, like, she escapes too and has to go by herself to meet him in England. And apparently, and in the book, I think it describes some of her harrowing journey.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I really want to read this book now. After victory in Europe Day, the hotel was occupied by the U.S. Air Force, The hotel organized a party in honor of the Allied soldiers there and also hosted other events and shows like a fundraising gala to benefit orphans of the resistance. This is like a theme we also see. It's like people were like, okay, we need a lot of damage control, basically. Yeah. Let's party and let's raise some money to fix this mess. After the war, Emmanuel Martinez was accused of collaboration with the Italian and German occupiers. Martinez, needing funds to keep the hotel going during the war, had made a disastrous arrangement. Through his accountant, Marius Britannia, he was introduced to a Russian called Michel Skolnikov, a high-profile collaborator. Skolnikov, who wished to buy the Martinez, had been given a German passport and allowed free passage throughout the country, selling textiles and other goods to the Germans and acquiring real estate in the large towns of France, both for the Germans and himself. Marius Britannia was, unknown to Martinez, also administrator of one of Skolnikov's companies in Monaco. Okay, so lots happening there. Upon the liberation of France, Skolnikov fled to Spain, where he would die during a kidnapping attempt by the French government. Meanwhile, Marius Britannia denounces Martinez, stating he had sold the hotel to Skolnikov. The French state did not hesitate. They confiscated the hotel immediately, proclaiming Martinez a criminal collaborator and announcing he had sold his personal shares to Skolnikov. The hotel was put into the hands of an organization which managed state-owned real estate. Marius Britannia was put in charge of running the hotel. Okay, let's just back up a little bit. Martinez is put in a shit situation. Has to deal with Nazis during the Nazi occupation. Mm-hmm. Then the French government comes and says, "You collaborated with a collaborator, and now we're going to take your hotel, even though you were part of the resistance helping the Allies." And it sounds like Marius Bernatetta.
His accountant was the
the
perpetrator.
Yeah. But someone was out to get him. Mm-hmm. This does not seem clear. And the French government should be ashamed of themselves for lots of reasons.
Yeah. The fact that the government would even dare to accuse people like, well, you collaborated. Well, bitch, you didn't even put up a fight. Remember that? Remember 4 years
you
ago?
You collaborated too.
We're all just trying to survive.
So they also smeared his name, it sounds like.
Yes. Yes, for a year. It actually ruined the reputation of the hotel for a while because people wouldn't go there because, like, oh, they collaborated.
It's horrible.
Yeah, like everything you did for the resistance means nothing because your accountant set you up a bad deal.
Everyone had to deal with the Nazis at that time. Like, that's not fair.
Yeah.
And he also probably was like, I need this hotel to keep going so I can continue saving people's lives.
Exactly. Yeah. If you're using the hotel as the front for the resistance, the hotel cannot close.
Yeah. In the face of repeated death threats in France after the liberation, Martinez escaped first to Italy and then to England to live with his daughter and Tom Kenny. He would not be allowed to enter his hotel again. In December 1944, in his absence, he was sentenced to 20 years in prison as a collaborator. But in 1949, hearing testimony from around 30 resistance, allied personnel, and the Jews Martinez had hidden or helped to escape, the High Court in Lyon acquitted him of all charges of collaboration and restored his good name. Well, goddamn! Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, sorry. I'm very
took 5 years, but
what the fuck? Oh my God. But as the courts were unable to establish who actually owned the hotel at the liberation, they were powerless to restore the business to its creator. In 1945, the state then deemed Martinez liable to pay a total fine of almost 4 billion francs, an impossible sum to raise. It continued to accuse Martinez of having done business with one of the worst collaborators of the war. Martinez never again saw his beloved hotel before he died in Italy in 1973.
So awful. Yeah, so the French government continued to run the hotel until the 80s, claiming that they were using the income from it to putting the income towards the fine that he supposedly owed the government.
That they gave him.
Yeah. Yes.
They couldn't figure out who owned. You know, he owned it. Give it back to him.
And what difference does it make? If you have the power to seize the hotel, you have the power to declare, okay, well, you're the owner now because the other guy is dead because we killed him.
Yeah. What? Oh my God. Shady business.
Super shady.
Listen to this. The legal battle for compensation is still being waged by his family today. His grandson, Philip Kenny, has written a book named The Hotel Martinez. Wow. I'm so pissed off for this guy.
Yeah, it's terrible. They he literally lost everything for his country that he was trying so hard to protect. So the French government continued to run the much less luxurious now hotel until 1981, when it was sold at auction to the Tattinger family's Concord Hotel Group, which had been managing it anyway for the government, for 55 million francs, about $10 million in today's money, which apparently was also like a steal. Like they bought it at auction for way less than its appraised value. And then in 2005, it was sold to Starwood Capital Group. The hotel was sold again in 2012 and joined the Hyatt Group in 2013. It was renamed the Grand Hyatt Cannes Hotel Martinez. The hotel closed for renovations in late 2017 and reopened for business in March 2018 under its original name.
Thank God.
I know. It was added to the Hyatt's Unbound collection of hotels, which also includes the Hotel Figueroa here in Los Angeles.
Oh, I saw that. Very interesting. Yeah.
So now at this point, it's been sold so many times that even if the courts and do decide that the hotel technically should still belong to that family, like how are they going to sort out that mess?
I don't know. You can't sell. I mean, if it's technically theirs, you can't sell something.
Yeah, basically.
You have to give it back.
Yeah, then there would have to be something happen between Hyatt and the family, I guess. Like what a horrible steaming pile of poo that the French government has created.
Yeah.
But in 2020, the hotel embarked on a new phase of transformation, unveiling a swimming pool, spa, redesigned gym, and two suites on the 7th floor dedicated to two personalities who have marked the history of the Cannes Film Festival, Isabelle Huppert and Thierry Frémaux. I'm going to guess those are very big French actors that
I have no idea who they are, but respect.
But much respect. But so it sounds like the Martinez at least has been restored to its former glory so that it doesn't belong to who it's supposed to belong to, but at least it's still a very luxurious hotel.
But I have to know, did they do this before the pandemic? No, it must. Okay, 2020. Okay. Because that would just be bad timing. Remember when we saw the Savoy reality show and the girl's like, 2020 is my year. Yes. This is going to be the best year ever. Three weeks later.
So I wonder what part of 2020 they unveiled all of this in. Because, the month matters.
It matters. Maybe they might have taken a note from the Carlton and be like, hey, we see the writing on the wall here.
Yeah.
We're going to start renovations now and expanding and doing everything because it's the time. Whew, that's rough. That's a history right there.
Well, Martinez family, we're with you.
Yeah. What's a good hashtag?
Free the Martinez. That brings us to our last property, which is not a hotel, but what sounds like a really cool place to visit while you're there staying at these amazing hotels.
For staying in Cannes, like I fully recommend the Carlton or the Martinez, but this summer, like the place to check out is Palm Beach Con, which is a whole new huge development and like kind of like a redevelopment. There used to be a historic Palm Beach casino there, and that's in some of these old Hollywood movies too. So for any like history fans, it's another like super iconic area, and it's like way at the end of the beach, basically. So if you're going along the Crossette, the Carlton will be like closer to like the center of town, and then Martinez is a little bit further, and then Palm Beach is at the end, like at the point. And they just went through a multi-million dollar renovation where now it's the first members club in the French Riviera. And, you know, you can only guess who the members are going to be. It's like, you know, the most exclusive, like coolest spot. But the great thing is for the rest of us, we can all go to the restaurants. There's a bunch of public restaurant, you know, restaurants that are open to the public down there. Like there's a Zuma, a Namos. Like it kind of gives you more of that international, like fun party vibe that you get in like, you know, Mykonos or like places like that. So it's a ton of fun. I went to a few of the restaurants last summer when they opened, and also the best club I've ever been to. It's called Medusa. It was the coolest place. Like the coolest performers. Yeah, it was so cool, so chic.
And that's their like cabaret restaurant experience, right?
Yeah. Yeah. It's like a cabaret restaurant club, like restaurant that turns into a club. And there's like dancers and performers all night long. It like literally the funnest night I had last year. So much fun.
I'm really surprised that this is the first ever members club in this part of the world. It seems like that would be something that would already exist.
Yeah.
I know. There's no Soho House. There's nothing like that. Like, it's just like, I honestly think it was so exclusive to begin with, just like as a destination. Yeah. There wasn't really a need. And then now, honestly, the members clubs are a huge trend. I just think it's a great idea because they have a private pool, private like fitness club, private spa. They have some private members only restaurants in this whole development. So I think they did a really nice job where it's like, you know, it's a community. Like if you're a wealthy person and you have, you know, a house down there, this could definitely be a great place to kind of find a sense of community because it is such a touristy area. Like, you know, I think it's, you know, it definitely like fits the need for, you know, the clientele.
Yeah. I mean, it makes sense. I think that's where a lot of things are headed.
But yeah, so this place actually has a long history too. It was first conceptualized in 1928 when it was just a casino, Palm Beach Casino. And Eugene who was the promoter and founder of the Deauville Casino, suggested to the mayor of Cannes the idea of building Europe's first summer casino. Because at the time, the French Riviera was very much a winter resort. Everything shut down in the summer. But starting in 1929, actually, the Carlton decided to stay open for the summer season of 1929, and everybody else followed suit. And so that's when it also became basically almost a year-round place to go. Cornuchet comes up with this idea of building a summer casino and wanted to name it Palm Beach after the Florida beach town.
I just find that crazy. Palm Beach has been that popular for so long?
Yeah, apparently so. Well, I guess it was wealthy even back in the 20s.
That makes sense. Have you been to Palm Beach?
No.
I've been. It's really nice. Isn't it nice? Like, I know I want to say it's gorgeous. It's beautiful. It's lovely to walk around. The houses are huge. it's stunning. It's a really, really nice place to vacation, to have a second home.
Yeah. Well, the casino opened in April of 1929, and it became this playground for the elite right away, basically. And its architecture is gorgeous. It's this blend of Hispano-Moorish and Art Deco.
That sounds pretty. I mean, it looks beautiful too. I can just imagine.
As they were doing this new renovation, I think they worked really hard to maintain that original look.
Yeah, I think that's the thing about historical places or high-end places is that if it's not a totally new concept, but they're taking from the past, or it's an old building, or it's, they do want to preserve things. It makes it classier when you don't paint everything with a 1970s mustard yellow and cover up mezzanine. Conrad Hilton. It's like, you're so rich, you can afford to time travel. That's how rich you are.
Yeah. Yeah. So some of the things that the original elite would have enjoyed here were two pools, one of them being salt water. That was like all the rage back then. And they also would have, of course, gambling at the casino, cabaret shows. And then it was also the place to watch fireworks that are held across on an island called Santa Marguerite Island, where the Terrace of the Iron Mask is.
What the hell is that?
That is the historic prison cell where the man in the Iron Mask was imprisoned for 11 years.
Who's the man in the Iron Mask?
You've never seen the movie The Man in the Iron Mask?
No.
Oh my God, that's peak DiCaprio. Like young, hot Leonardo DiCaprio was the man in the Iron Mask.
Really?
Yeah.
Why can't I? It's not. Okay, I need a Google. I'm going to have to Google.
Yeah, so this is where he was imprisoned, and it's now part of the Museum of the Iron Mask in the Royal Fort. But yeah, at this prison is where they will set off fireworks for people across the bay to enjoy.
Is it like Alcatraz?
It's kind of, like, yeah, because it's on an island. Yeah, so make it
and
really
no one's there anymore.
No, now it's just a museum.
Yeah. Okay, so it's Alcatraz.
In 1939, the casino campaigned to host the first Cannes Film Festival, but on September 1st, the festival's opening day, the organizers canceled the event after the German troops invaded Poland. So,
ruined it.
Didn't work out for them to host it. And like all the other hotels, it was requisitioned by the government during the war, but it was bombed in 1944 and partially destroyed. And so it couldn't reopen until 1947 after they renovated it. So speaking of the film festival, of course, a movie is going to be associated with somewhere iconic from Cannes. The cult favorite movie, Any Number Can Win, which is a French movie. I cannot pronounce its French name. I'm not going to try. Directed by Henri Verneuil. And starring Jean Gabin.
Don't look at me for any French pronunciation.
Starring Jean Gabin and Alain Delon, was filmed at the casino in 1963. It is about a man just released from prison who plans one last heist. See, it's this area is just perfect for that.
I know. There's something about thievery in the air.
Like, I guess when that many wealthy people are in one location, it just inspires it.
Yeah, I want to watch this. It sounds like a good movie. I have a movie night set up. So we got Any Number Can Win, To Catch Thief. I mean, I've seen that one. And then The Mask.
The Man in the Iron Mask, yeah.
The Man in the Iron Mask. We should, good movie night. That's a... Alain Delon, or Alain Delon, however you I pronounce it the way my father does, and his weird accent, he's like Alain Delon. So according to my father, my whole life, I now understand it's not normal. Like, as an American, you don't know these like old European celebrities, but in my head it's embedded, because whenever my father describes a good looking man, and I was like, well, is he cute? And or he's whatever talking about. So it's like, he looks like Alain Delon. And I'm like, oh, okay. And I saw him. I was like, wow, this guy's hot. That's a compliment. So if a man is good looking, he's Alain Delon. And then if a woman's good looking, Brigitte Bardot.
Ah.
So we know what my father's European taste is.
Yeah.
And then when he wants to describe a woman, a woman who he thinks has a beautiful body, but not necessarily a beautiful face. So, oh, she looks like Sophie Loren.
Aww.
My dad's brutal. Palm Beach closed in 1991, but the Carlton Casino was moved to the premises a decade later. In 2011, the Gotha Club, I feel like they're missing a few letters there, the Gotha Club opened there but held its last concert in 2017. The next year, the Medusa Cabaret restaurant opened, the one that Jakey was telling us.
Yeah.
Famed for an eclectic dinner and cabaret, followed by the Palm Club in 2019 and the restaurant La Petite Maison in 2020. What do you mean eclectic dinner and cabaret? Like anything goes?
Yeah, I think like it doesn't have a specific theme all the time. It just does a little bit of everything.
Oh, I love that. I love that.
Because then every time you go, it's different.
Yeah, that sounds fun. Oh, and also I just like the name Medusa Cabaret.
Yeah, it's great.
In 2021, the first stone was symbolically laid in a new construction to reinvigorate and rebrand the location. Palm Beach reopened in May 2024 with a dazzling array of offerings, including a collection of renowned restaurants like Namos Beach Club and Restaurant, Zuma, an upscale Japanese restaurant, and Tamarin, a South American-inspired restaurant from St. Bart's. So they got all the cuisines over here. They restored the saltwater pool. The establishment also features a state-of-the-art fitness center, wellness area, and 13 luxury boutiques. A 1,200 square meter ballroom pays homage to the vibrant parties of the Roaring Twenties held in the casino's first heyday. Ooh.
I love any time something built in 1929 is like, we had the Roaring Twenties. And I'm like, you had 6 months of the Roaring Twenties.
You know, it was the best part of it. Right before it all came down.
Yeah.
Palm Beach is also the first Riviera established to house a private members club. As we spoke, this is first of its kind, offering access to exclusive members boutiques, a members bar, wellness facilities, and the impressive pool. So a lot of the stuff that we spoke about, only members have access to. Or you could be, I'm assuming, because this is how a lot of members club work, you have to be friends of a member. Yeah. So the next time we're in Cannes, we're going to check out. We need to get there. We need to go there. I didn't know it was such an accessible place.
I didn't either. I always thought of it as extremely exclusive and somewhere that maybe I would be able to like just like touch a little piece of on the way to somewhere else.
Yeah, but I it's been one of my top destinations for a long time, like south of France.
I want to just beach hop along the Côte d'Azur.
I want to go into Monaco too.
Yeah,
that sounds fun.
Thanks for listening to Hotel History. You can follow us on most social media platforms, Patreon, and Substack by searching for Hotel History or Hotel History Podcast. To connect or collaborate with us, check out our website at hotelhistorypodcast.com. If you like what you hear, please leave us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts and Spotify so we can reach more listeners.